So it's good to see everybody. I know quite a bit. We're out Wednesday. We have finished the book of Ephesians. I do here in a second. We're just going to do just a quick review of some of the things that we've looked at. And then we'll start off looking at, then we'll start looking at Colossians. So when we look at Ephesians, we saw two major divisions. We saw these blessings that we have, these spiritual blessings in Christ, and how great they are. And it was laid out in a way in this book where almost each verse you see a part of it or an explanation of it. So it tells us, you know, Paul, as he was writing this to the Ephesians, how great this blessing is, how it was on his heart, how he wanted to remind them of these things. And then we go on to chapter 4, that because of these things, because of our acknowledgement and understanding of it, what it should cause in us. And that he again reminds them of that. It talks about the walk or the way of life that one is to live. It describes some of the old self and the new self, and characteristics of the old and the new, and how we should live now because of our understanding and the new life that we chose. And then Wednesday we finished up with looking at the full armor of God. So we saw that although there is something out there that we need to prepare ourselves and be prepared for, there is a way that was provided for us to overcome this. And through Christ and through the relationship that we have and our knowledge of the Word, we can overcome these things. And the Word was even one of the things that's mentioned that we can use. The Word can help us strengthen ourselves because of the things that we see in it. Being reminded of the salvation, where it started off in the first of that chapter, being reminded of the salvation and the blessings in Christ. And then once we decide to walk in them, then we're going to truly, or we should truly, that should cause us to really want to understand, how do we please this God? What has He taught us? How has He dealt with people in the past? How are we to live our life? So we're going to look in. That should cause us to look into that and make application and growth in our life. So are there any comments or thoughts or anything? No? Okay. So we saw this idea and we saw what we can do to protect ourselves. And it's all based on the gospel of Christ, salvation. And we also see the idea and looked at the idea of prayer. How that can be a benefit, and contextually in this, it was talking about prayer for others. I mean, Paul even had asked for them to pray for him. So that tells us something about his trust and belief in going to God in prayer. So then after we read that book, we skip Philippians on purpose. We will get back to it. We're going to do Colossians now, and the only reason why I wanted to kind of group these two books together is because they're also considered the twin epistles. As you read it, I'm sure you saw some similarities to Ephesians. What might be some things that would, what type of similarities do we see in this book?
thankfulness.
Okay, thankfulness. We do see thankfulness. Does it any can thankfulness about?
Okay, it speaks to the thankfulness that we should have to God for our salvation.
Salvation. Okay, so a lot of the in Christ terms again and different things like that. Okay.
The walk of authority.
Right. We see the idea of walk again. We see that. We're also going to see. I think it's later in the verse. Yeah, that's 3 and 4. We see some of the same ideas as far as the relationships. Now, it doesn't go into great detail about it, but again, you see parent-child. You see husband and wife and master and slave. You see these same ideas over again. Did you have a comment, Robbie?
It's also organized. It's very similar. Like the first two chapters, like Ephesians has the spiritual blessings of Christ, the first two chapters in Colossians, a little bit different idea, but kind of the same thing about how we're complete in Christ.
Yes, sir.
And then the chapters 3 and 4 talks about, you know, Ephesians 4 through 6 is to walk worthy, but Colossians is, you know, set your mind things above. So it's almost, you know, here you get, we're complete in Christ, now here's kind of the walk, or in the case of Colossians, you know, set your mind things above. It tells about things and how we should react when we're complete in Christ.
Sir. Any other comments, thoughts, or?
Well, kind of give us an idea about the way people were thinking back then, you know, and the problems they were having, and the questions they were asking, stuff like that, you know.
Okay.
Things were fresh in the problems.
Okay.
Kind of give us an insight, looking at their lives, and see us, you know.
Some of the things that they were dealing with?
Their lives, and how we, you know. How we deal with things there.
Well, and some of those things, these are things that evidently we can run into too, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Both of them talk about the mystery.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We see both of them do talk about the mystery. And on this one, I don't remember if we, I don't think we did it on Ephesians, but in this one I did, I think I noted to mark it. At least I marked it in mine because you're. We saw more ideas about that here, about the mystery and words like
the word
make known, the word right, yes ma'am. So different things like that. So that, because we're going to see some of that building in, I believe it's mainly the first two chapters. No, we do see it in some of 3 and 4 as well. Okay. This book was written, of course, we've seen just like Paul started off in Ephesians. He starts off similar here. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So we see in verse 1 who this is from. And then in verse 2, similar to Ephesians also, he explains who this letter is to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, who are at Colossae. So this is written to Christians, the Colossian brethren. So as we read these things, let's be reminded of this, that this, just like in the other book, Ephesians, these are things that can help us. These are things that we too can be reminded of and encouraged by and warned of. Then I asked for y'all to read all 4 chapters. They're pretty short, and I had some suggestions on markings. I don't know if y'all did that or not. If you haven't, please consider doing that. That might be helpful to you. Did I have some? Did y'all got one? Okay. Does anybody need a copy of Colossians? I think everybody should have one now. As far as
I only got chapters 1 and 2.
Okay, so I'll give you.
Okay.
Let me see where I put that. Was there a pile there, or did y'all get it?
Yeah, we got the two that were
two.
Here.
Well, I had, this is what I'm looking for. I had a 3 and 4 that I had made copies for. All right. So, yeah, if you'll just look over the verses and maybe use some of the suggestions on the markings. It's basically similar to the way we marked on Ephesians. This is just going to help bring some things out. It's going to help us to see, again, the references to God, references to Christ, and that situation as far as in Christ, through Christ. You'll see different things like that, and because of the way that's worded there, we can tell from the words in front of it or behind it, it's telling us something in connection with that. And also looking at, I don't think I suggested it for Ephesians, I had marked it in mine, but just even looking at who was writing and how Paul was referring to that in some of these, we see the idea of Paul, sometimes we, which would include Paul, and it's not always talking about the same we, I don't believe, us, different ideas of who he is speaking of from, or the thought, and then who he's speaking to. So if you mark it that way, it might help bring some other things out as well. And also, like the words, let me get over to that page. There we go. References to the Word, the truth, the gospel, the mystery, different ideas of that. We'll see quite a bit of that in these verses. So, again, if you haven't had a chance to mark those, please go ahead and still do that, because it'll definitely benefit you later when you're especially if you're ending up maybe using this piece of paper to mark it now as a rough draft and then mark it in your Bible, because then when you go and you're turning through pages, it's really, it can help bring things out as you're reading stuff over and over. So hopefully by doing these markings, it'll be helpful and help us to gain possibly a better understanding of this book. And chapter 1, how could you consider the theme of chapter 1? What could you say?
I used verses 1 and 9 as the theme. It's filled with knowledge, and then verse 10 to walk in the glory of the Lord.
Okay. So we see the idea, because all throughout this, like Rocky had already pointed out, we see these blessings again, and all through there. And I also, one thing I put on here is Paul seems to be, he starts off this book praising the Colossians because of their knowledge of these things and because of their faith. So these are all things that we're going to be able to see in this first chapter. Chapter 1, verse 3 starts off by saying, "We give thanks." Now, who is the we? And who might be the we in this?
Paul and Timothy.
Okay, Paul and Timothy, and I agree with that, and I also think it might not even be limited to that when we see some of the we, because of in chapter 4 where it makes references to other people, and where it's talking about how they're thinking of them, or you know, something that they might have had them to to see or to say.
Well, I didn't know whether to include Epaphras or not.
Right.
I mentioned in the, you know, 7 maybe again.
Okay.
Later in the book.
Okay, well, good. I apologize. Sometimes these might seem like trick questions. From my simple mind, they're really not. So I apologize. I don't mean for it to seem that way. But that was just one thing I saw too. Because in chapter 4, you see some of these other greetings and such that Paul mentions. So, at least in chapter or verse 3, we see this idea of who that we is. And why are they thankful? Which we kind of already looked at, but
for the faith of the Colossians.
Okay, for their faith, for the faith of the Colossians.
And the love they show. The saints.
Okay, and the love they show for the saints. Okay. We're going to do this one a little different than we did Ephesians. Basically, on this one, we're just going to go chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, for the most part. There's going to be a little bit where we see some common thing in another chapter, but for the most part, that's how we're going to address this book. Now, in verse 5, in chapter 1, it says, "Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel." So, this hope that is being spoken of, is it, I put in here, is it limited to them? No, okay, it's not. But this verse uses the terminology just one reason why I looked at this is because of the, if you're marking the we and the you and the things like that, just things to think about. So I put, does this mean only them or including them also because of what they have in common? So and also verse 6 will help explain that. Verse 6 said, "Which has come to you just as in all the world also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth." So,
I think of it as like you, the people, we, the apostles, because they're teaching the truth, they're teaching the gospel to anyone who hears it. Anyone who hears it can have part in it.
I agree with anyone hears it can have a part of it, but I don't think that the we's in this is always talking about that, because especially when you start off and you say, yes, Paul was an apostle, but Timothy wasn't, and the others that were mentioned that I think was probably included in some of the we. They weren't either.
Workers, they didn't have to be apostles.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But they were people that were trying to help bring the gospel.
Yes, ma'am. I totally agree. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I agreed with your thought. Just the apostle part, I don't necessarily agree that the we is all the apostles.
Right.
But thank you. Good comment. Yes, sir. Did you have a comment right here?
You mentioned this letter is a twin letter to Ephesians. Paul established the church in Ephesus, spent a long time there, and as we just reading here, he did not establish his church.
Correct.
But yet, evidently, it's pretty close to the church in Ephesus. It's interesting. You go back and look at the second journey, when Paul is going back and visiting the church established in the first journey, and he's heading toward this area. Paul wanted to come down to Asia, which would include this area. The Holy Spirit said no.
Right.
He wanted to go north. The Holy Spirit said no. And that's when he got the Macedonian call to go over to Philippi. But then when he comes back to in the third journey, we read about Ephesus in Acts 19, he established the church. People all through Asia heard about the gospel because of what happened in Ephesus. And evidently, we don't know for sure, but possibly Ephesus learned the gospel there, or came from Ephesus.
Right.
So even though they were so closely related, and as Paul talks about it, you know, about how he heard about the faith and how strong they are, but they didn't have a direct role in establishing this church.
Yeah, because he even mentions that, and I don't even know if he ever physically met them. Right, right. I mean, even after, that's a good point. Good point. Was there any other thoughts or comments? Or no? So we see the idea in verse 6, that which has come to you, just as in all the world. So he specifically in this book speaking to them, but we see that it encompasses any of those that would believe. According to verse 5, how did they come to know of this hope?
Hearing.
Okay, hearing. Okay, so they heard of it, of the word of truth, the gospel. And also we see that if you did the marking, you see some of that heard in the word of truth, the gospel. Verse 6, it says it. And after saying it says constantly bearing fruit, so still speaking of the word, increasing, heard of it in truth. Verse 7, learned it. And 9, knowledge of his will and spiritual wisdom and understanding, increasing the knowledge of God. Verse 10, verse 22, gospel that you have heard. 25, the word. 26, mystery. 27, make known. And then all through, we see it also in chapters 2, chapters 3, and chapters 4. Now 3 and 4 just barely reference it, but so we see this idea throughout this book. Yes, sir.
Just one of the things that I looked at when I was studying this. First of all, it amazes me that from verse 3 through verse 8 is all one sentence. If you read that as one sentence, it just kind of goes on and on and on. There's no period other than at the beginning of at the end of verse 8, and it's all one sentence. But one thing that struck me was in verse 5, it says, because of the hope. And I tried to go back and look at, okay, what is because? But since we have heard of your faith in Christ and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope that they had laid up for you in heaven. So that hope, out of that hope springs this love toward all the saints. It's all that common, the unity of the saints and the hope in Christ.
Yeah, because of what they know, what they have in common.
That love that we have for each other, that we have for other Christians, comes from that hope and the faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And so that those two things spring from the hope that we have.
And that, well, just kind of a side note since you said that, because when you think about your brethren, I mean, I think a lot of us are probably closer to our brethren than our blood family. Unless some of us are fortunate to have both, that, you know, some of the blood family that are brethren. But, I totally agree. Because of what they have in common, there's a strong bond there. Any other thoughts or comments? Or okay. So we see that Paul is thankful for the Colossians because of the knowledge of God. But how did they get this knowledge? When we read, we'll notice a name that was mentioned in the first and also the last chapter of this book. Now, I put on there, who is this and why is this important? Who did we see in, I think it was verse 7. Is it 7? Okay. Who did we see there?
Epaphras.
Okay, Epaphras. And like Rocky had already mentioned, doesn't really say, possibly someone that learned the truth from the Ephesians. Verse 7 says that he is a fellow bondservant, a faithful servant of Christ that taught them the gospel. So we see without a doubt where they learned the gospel, and this is how the Colossians came to know the truth. And 4:12 says that he is one of their number, and which is also something that was referenced in 4:9, talking about a onesomeness, if that's how you say that. And I'm thinking, and I could easily be wrong, but from the way I see that, I'm thinking maybe that he's just one of those that lived in that area. Anybody else have any thoughts on that? Or
I found it interesting that even during this time of spiritual gifts, that you just see over and over and over how people heard the word. They heard the word. You know, and you see it here, you see it throughout the Gospels, but it's really enforced here and how important someone preaching the word really was.
Yeah, that's very true. And you think about the circumstances, well, at least from the standpoint of the letters themselves, the circumstances that the writer's in and what is most important to him. He could be focused on, look what the word got me in, or, you know, something. He could be saying something to that point, but he's totally the opposite. And he also even uses that to strengthen others. Yes, sir?
Contrary to the ideas that the modern generations have concerning miracles, we know that it's basically confirmation. That's why it was given. That's why it was to confirm the word. That the word is the motivator. The word is the vehicle. It's God's gift to know what God wants, and serve God His will. That's the revelation of the Spirit. Of course, took the miracle of the apostles having the inspiration to be able to bring this word to us. But still, it was for confirmation.
Okay. Yes, sir?
At first, as we've been talking about it, when we read verse 7, it appears to me that he was pretty instrumental in getting this church started.
Yes, sir.
And preaching the word. And you mentioned in 4:12, he also talks about it. Look at 4:12, it's interesting. Talks about him. Because who is one of their number? That indicates that maybe he's a member there of that church.
Right.
And he says, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, note this, sends you his greetings. When Paul's in prison. He sends you his greetings to the brethren. It almost sounded like Epaphras is in prison with Paul there.
Very possible.
And how he got in prison, don't know. And one other reference to Epaphras is in Philemon. In Philemon, verse 23, Epaphras. Note how he says here, my fellow prisoner. So I think that's the only three references we have of this man. Kind of interesting. Evidently, he's instrumental in starting this church. And somehow, he's communicating to Paul about this church and writes this letter. And it indicates that he's almost in prison with Paul. And how he got there, and how he got—I don't know. It just there's a lot of question marks in my mind.
I didn't even notice that particular part of it. That's a good point. I'm gonna look into that some more.
But there's nothing more to look into. That's the only
really,
reference
yeah.
That we have.
Yeah, that's
so
the only reference.
There's a lot of question marks.
So why was this important? Because he was instrumental in.
But he was one of the we.
Yeah, he's one of the we.
That he worked together with us and is a faithful servant of Christ for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
and he followed in Paul's place.
Another one was Onesimus. He was a slave of Philemon.
Yes.
Onesimus is mentioned, here, and so he was
and then in,
also with Paul at the same time. And he was one of their number.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Oh, okay. I saw your hand go up. Good comment. Any other thoughts, comments? No? Those are good comments. Thank y'all. Let's look at verse 12. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Then even builds on that 13, for He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. So I ask the question specifically in verse 12, who are we to give thanks to and why? Okay, give thanks to God the Father. And because it said that He qualified us to share in this inheritance. And that's also one thing that we looked at when we were studying Ephesians. We saw that in 1:3 and then the end of chapter 3. So we see this idea of praising God, or that we should praise God for the for these spiritual blessings that, that we have in Christ. Did we see any other references to specifically to God the Father in these chapters? Or in this chapter?
In
verse 19. Verse 19, okay. Said, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him. So,
fullness of what?
I'm sorry?
Fullness of what?
I believe it's talking about deity.
Well, God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in Him. That's what I thought too.
Right. Okay. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, or deity to dwell in Him. And then verse 20, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And again, like we saw in Ephesians, this idea of peace, this peace between man and God because of what was provided. You know, salvation through His blood or His death.
So it tells us that He put in place the plan of Christ?
One thing we see for sure is the involvement of God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the involvement of Christ, that they are as one in thought. I mean, it's in purpose. But in that verse, it does show that this was God the Father. God the Father. And we also saw that and when we looked at Ephesians, and that shows us the gratitude that we should praise God. John 3:16, very popular verse. We see this in there. It's a similar idea. Usually I can quote it, but my brain is slow.
And the whole point was to accept Jesus or follow Jesus, and He's just saying that He has more than enough to, you know, He's got the fullness of God, so
He's deity as well, because that's one thing we need to remember, that because we thank God. Well, let me look, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We see this idea of the love of God the Father and a provision that it shows that He had given. But also in the same, we see that Christ, deity, what He was willing to do, knowing what He was going to go through when He came, but what He has done for us. So we still see, and we read these similar ideas as we look at Ephesians, because we see these spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. These are both something that was a plan. And it said that God the Father gave up His only begotten. And then we also see that the Son in His love, what He was willing to do for us. And both of these are in common. It's not that, you know, Jesus didn't have any thought in this. They have the same purpose. Did you have a comment? Yes,
yeah,
sir.
I was going to say, verses 13 through 19, if you look at it and kind of outline it, and think about it in terms of what God did for us. So
and you're in Colossians?
Yeah,
Colossians. Okay, Colossians 13 through 19. Okay.
Through 20. If you look at it from the point of view of what did God do for us, He delivered us from the domain of darkness, from sin. He transferred us into the kingdom of His Son. Through Him we have redemption, forgiveness, and reconciliation. So that's, when you look at those points, and that pretty much summarizes or outlines everything that God did through His Son, and it's a good, concise outline of what we have in Christ.
Yes, sir.
What God did for us.
What God did for us. And also what Christ did by fulfilling the earth.
You tie back to the other verses that just previous to that about the love that they have for each other and coming from hope, and so that all kind of pulls together.
Yes, sir.
It seems like when Christ died on the cross, it opened up a whole different avenue for people to, you know, become His friends again that were once enemies.
Oh, to be
reconciled.
Right, reconciled. Okay, yes, sir.
Hadn't been for that.
There was no hope, huh? Yes, sir.
Craig, in this letter to Colossians, it's a little bit different from Ephesians than what I expected. That there was a lot of false doctrine in the Presbyterian Church.
Yes.
And it's really talked about in chapter 2, verse 16, to the end of the chapter, the Gnosticism, many false doctrines in men, and so forth. And the point was that, you know, these were Christians, and all this doctrine's come in, and they're kind of, you know, people, the false teachers saying, you know, you need something more than Christ.
Right.
You're not complete in Christ. And so Paul's trying to make the point that you are complete in Christ. And this, in chapter 1, 19 through 13 through 24, you see how Paul is showing how imminent Christ is. You know, he's the same as the Father, all fools. You know, he's God. He's
God.
Fully complete. And he's, because he's going to make that point in chapter 2, well, since Christ is that, he's all deity, and they're the ones that are supposed to be following him. You are now complete. So you shouldn't be following all these false doctrines. You don't need them. You're being led astray. So that's a good background of why you see some things here that are a little bit different, some differences than Ephesians.
Okay.
One other difference from Ephesians is that in Ephesians they spent quite a bit of the time, the first part of it, talking about Jew and Gentile and the separation. Here you don't see that comparison between Jew and Gentile. It's between those who were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, that kind of thing. Sinners, it's not necessarily split by Old Testament or the Law of Moses. This was by other things.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Ryan had a comment.
Do you have a comment, Ryan?
I was just thinking, I was going through 13 and 20, through 20, and it's constantly mentioning He and Him. So I was thinking back to this, that actually references God throughout the entire portion.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of made note, I don't know if it was the translator or if it was just actually how Paul wrote it, but it goes Father at 12, and then it goes He, Him, 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 He, all the way throughout, and then it goes Father again.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just to reemphasize, hey, who I'm talking about, or is it just... Or was it the translator to help us to remember that, hey, he's talking about Father?
Well, that's a good question. That's one thing, when we're marking this, some of these, we're not all going to agree on who the He and Him is. Oh, saved by the bell. No. No, we'll go back over that again. Remind me in class, we'll start with that. Let me try to remember where we left off here. Well, thank y'all for y'all's attention and all your good comments. And for next class, just read ahead a little bit. And, you know, we get through a couple pages.